You've done your country proud.
Never really see Lara struggle. And it's about 6 yards over the fence for Lara.
Well, I don't think he's only bowling short. I think he's bowling rubbish. He's bowling like my Auntie Annie when she'd had too much sherry to drink.
How about that? Absolutely brilliant from Shane Warne.
Brilliant Yorker. Absolutely brilliant. Malinga with six.
Yet another 50 by Sachin Tendulkar. He'll raise his bat.
There it is. Big 100 for Peterson, a big 100 for England.
Short. Oh, it could be the best. It's long for Chris Gayle. Oh, my days. 40 of 9 deliveries.
Brilliant from Broad. 8 for 15. Best bowling figures on this ground.
That'll get there. Joe Root has gone to 100 here at Trent Bridge.
You are listening to Sticky Wicket on URN Sport.
Hello and welcome to the 4th edition of the Sticky Wicket Cricket Podcast at URN. I'm Orvi and I'm joined in the studio by three excellent panellists in Jack, Taran and Joe. This time around we'll be talking about the IPL auctions, the England versus West Indies warm-up game and the Australia versus India Test Series. Starting with the IPL auction, guys, what do you think about players such as Stokes being one of the most highly prized players at about 1.7 million at the auctions?
I personally think he's a really good buy for the team he went to because bats high, can bowl very well in the death. So, I mean, it's 2-in-1 cricketer and you don't really get that often these days. So, I mean, you're going to have to pay big bucks for it. And, yeah, he'll do really well, I think, in this IPL and really add something to every place for.
Yeah, I think Stokes is very sort of un-English in his type of play. He seems a bit more like an Australian, like really tough. He sort of loves a battle, and I think that's quite what attracts teams. You know, he's a great fielder as well. Adds another string to his bow. So it doesn't really surprise me that he went for so much money, and hopefully he lives up to it.
Yeah, as you know, Stokes has just been promoted to vice captain, and he's been playing in all the three formats for England. How well do you think that this IPL bit of his, or this bit to RSP will allow him to perform in the future for English cricket?
I think it's going to be brilliant for him. You know, you guys have touched on it already. You know, he's a brilliant all-round batsman. I think that's why he went for such a high price, because, again, you don't really find anyone that can bat as well as he can and bowl as well as he can. And, you know, that's purely why he's cost them so much money. You know, he moved to a rising Pune Super Giants, and he's going to be, I think, an absolute steal for that price, you know. Okay, so he might be a bit inconsistent, and he might have that so-called, you know, pressure from the media on him, obviously with the price tag that he went for. But I think it's going to do wonders for him, especially like you say, you know, he's become vice captain now of the England setup, and you know, Joe Root, will get onto that in a bit, becoming the England captain as well. I'm surprised that Joe Root's not been taken by IPL. I mean, obviously he's not really seen as a short format kind of player, but I definitely think that the IPL would suit him. I think he would be up for batting in the IPL.
I think Root will play in the future. I think this time around he didn't put his name forward because he's a father, I think, recently, isn't he? And yeah, he wants a bit of a break. And two, they've got such a busy schedule. I know Stokes has as well, but I think Root will definitely probably play at some point in the future.
Yeah, again, coming to the fact that the last England players who have gone for such a high price were Flintoff and Peterson at around the first or second edition of IPL, about 1.1 million. And Stokes has gone for 1.7 million this year. Do you guys think will it be fine for him to deal with the pressure?
Yeah, he's shown in the past that he can sort of play under pressure. I mean, he did have that horror against the West Indies, but I think he seems like a fighter, and he always puts his name in the hat, so for anything, whether it's fielding at point, bowling first, bowling at the death, so I think he's got a really good chance of dealing with the pressure and playing really well.
Yeah, I think Stokes, he seems to be like the go-to man for England. Whenever they sort of need a wicket, it seems to throw the ball to Stokes, and he seems to be able to provide them, and they need someone to score quick runs, he seems to come in. So I think Stokes, he will be all right. I think he's a very good player, and I think he'll definitely handle the pressure, even with what happened with Carlos Brathwaite last year.
Another important player for England, as far as T20 is concerned, Timo Mills. He's gone for a staggering price as well to Royal Challengers Bangalore this year. How well do you think this will develop him or enhance him as a player? Because I've seen him playing right now. He's gone all in. He's gone for PSL. He's been on the England versus India team for the T20, and now he's been taken at a at such a high price in the absence of Mitchell Starc at RCB, how well do you think this will help him as a player to develop?
Well, I think, you know, he's had, obviously we can talk about it for ages, you know, he had that back injury which really set him back. He was almost going to retire from cricket at such a young age, which would have been a disappointment, but, you know, he's powered through. His physio has worked with him really well, and, you know, to see him playing in the Pakistani Super League at the moment as well, obviously he's caught the eye of the Indian franchises and everyone. You know, his base value at the start of the auction was about 60,000, and for him to go to for 1.4 million was absolutely insane. I mean, he hasn't got any test experience under his belt for England. He hasn't got any ODI experience under his belt for England. But you can bet now, you know, he's a young and up-and-coming bowler. We've seen that he can bowl at the top level. You know, he can bowl 93, 94 plus miles an hour. And, you know, we've seen him for so long in the English county cricket as well. He's been doing brilliant for his side. And, yeah, I think it can only prove, you know, hopefully if he does well in the IPL, he'll be put into the England short game setup, maybe not so much the ODI, obviously, you know, in T20 you'll get four overs, so having someone like that who can come in, and yes, he might have a bit of a injury still carrying through into the IPL, but, you know, he can come in, bowl those overs, get them out of the way with quickly, and he can do a job for you at the top of the order.
Well, I think the reason why he went for so much is that England really timed their T20 series against India impeccably just before the auction. And I think he really tied down Virat Kohli. Virat Kohli really struggled against him, so obviously Virat saw something in that and paid so much for him. Also, I think he's going to develop hugely because he's going to be batting against, bowling against AB, Virat and Chris Gayle in the nets, and it's going to be every day, so he can only improve bowling at better players. So I think it'll really help him and develop his career in the future.
Yeah, I think with Mills, obviously he only plays one format, so he's really like mastered the skills or the art of bowling in 2020s. And I think he always says his slower ball is almost better than his faster ball, because his ball's a really good slower ball, which is really hard to pick. And unlike slow Indian pitches, I think that'll be really handy.
Another seemingly important thing which came up was that MS Dhoni has stepped down as the captain of rising Pune Super Giants this year, just because of an executive decision, and Steve Smith was given captaincy. How well do you think Steve Smith could captain a side like in India at the moment, because MS Dhoni has been the IPL captain consistently from the time IPL has begun? So how well do you think Steve Smith's side will feature competitive Mahendra Singh Dhoni's side?
I think Steve Smith's a very good captain, but I think MS Dhoni just has the feel for T20 cricket, and he's proved it over numerous years. I mean, bowling, who did he bowl in the last over the World T20 final? I mean, he's made some really good decisions, and he just seems to have a natural feel for the game. Whereas Steve Smith, he's learning, he's young, but I don't think he's quite as good a captain as MS Dhoni.
I have to agree with you, but I think that, you know, Dhoni's still going to be there. He's going to be able to, you know, tutor and help him. And, you know, yes, Steve Smith he was a youngster, now he's coming through. He's been playing well for Australia over the last couple of years. And, yes, although he's not as good a captain as MS Dhoni was, I don't think he will ever get to that standard. I think that he has got a good head on his shoulders. He has someone in Dhoni who can turn to in a time of need if he needs help, if he's struggling. If his team are struggling, then, you know, he can turn to Dhoni to try and get the team back on track. And I think that Dhoni stepping down, perhaps maybe he just didn't want that added pressure. You know, now he can go out there and play his cricket. Obviously when he was captain, he still went out and played, you know, the best cricket that he can. But I think without that added bit of pressure, you know, he can just go out and express himself a bit more. And Steve Smith, I think that he will relish the role of being the rising Pune Super Giants captain. Especially, you know, like we say, he's got Ben Stokes now in that side as well, so they do have a pretty good squad underneath him.
Yeah, I think with Smith, I think obviously he's captain of Australia. I think, is it all formats?
Yes, all formats.
And I think he's done a pretty good job as the Test captain. And then I don't think they performed particularly well in the World T20 last year. I don't think they did that well. They didn't get out of the group, did they? I think Smith will do a good job. It might be a bit of a learning curve. I don't know if that'll affect Pune's results in the short term, but he's a good, really good player as well, Smith. He sort of leads some example as well, so I'm sure
he'll
be fine.
He is a good captain, but having seen recent Australian the T20 form, what they have been, like, they have lost the game against Sri Lanka, who have not won a series in, I don't know, like a year.
The B probably. Team,
I don't think Steve Smith even captain that. I think he was in India.
But yeah, another important player who came up to my notice was Asela Gunaratne, the Sri Lankan player who smashed an 84 in like 40 balls against Australia, and he got picked up this year by Mumbai Indians just because of that one game, because no one knew him, and the next day was the IPL auction. So how well do you think Gunaratne as a player will fare, because he was just randomly selected because of that one game?
Yeah, I think it might be tough for him. I think he's sort of played one knock and now he's going to play in the IPL. I'm not sure how much he'll play. But he's obviously talented. I think he scored 100 against South Africa as well in a one-day series recently as well. So he's obviously decent. I'm sure he might have a good knock or two, but I'm not sure he's going to sort of pull up any trees. I'm not sure.
The Delhi Daredevils squad this year has been phenomenal. They have Rahul Dravid as their coach and have picked your players like Rishabh Pant and have even Quinton de Kock in the game. How well do you think Delhi Daredevils under Rahul Dravid and under players like Rishabh Pant, who's really developing, is going to perform this year compared to their former years? Because if I remember, Delhi Daredevils, they played really good in the year they had Sehwag in them, and after that they just had this downfall.
I think Delhi Devils, they're probably one of my pre-tournament favourites. I think they've got some really good young Indian players like Shreyas Iyer, Sanju Samson, Karan Nair, who recently hit 300, Rishabh Pant, and they've also supplemented that with some good overseas players, Matthews, Dumini, Rabada, who I think is a very good bowler for South Africa, Quick, similar to Tim Al-Mills, and I think they've got some really good Indian bowlers as well who provide the X factor, someone like Amit Mishra, who's got all the tricks in the book, and a leg is always useful. So I think the Devils have a really good chance because like some of these young Indian players are already proven in the IPL, like Shreyas Iyer and Sanju Samson have already hit big knocks, so I really think I have a good chance.
Having said that, guys, what are your teams to watch out, your team picks of this IPL? I'll start with you, Joe. Who do you pick, which team do you consider will win this year's IPL?
I don't think you can ever look too far beyond RCB with their batting power, but I think their bowling always seems to let them down a little bit. They seem to like score 200 and then get chased down because their bowling's not very good. But I think RCB will definitely be up there. But I think we touched on Delhi Daredevils there. I think they've got a very, very good side. They were talking about young Indian players. But I think they've got Quinton de Kock open the bat, and that he is a fantastic player.
Especially against Indian bowlers.
Yeah, he's definitely getting into the up there in the bracket with sort of Williamson, Smith's roots. I think he's that good. So.
Oh, Rishabh, what are your picks?
I think KKR have a chance. They've always been there or thereabouts. I mean, it just really depends on how Sunil Narine plays, because obviously he had the action problem. But apart from that, I think you can't look past RCB. I mean, any team with Kohli, Gale and De Villiers, I mean, they can chase anything, they can set anything. So on that day, it just depends how they perform. But I think they're guaranteed to get enough good performance to get to the semi-final.
Having said that, they're a bowler like Timo Mills now, so...
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think he's an improvement on Mitchell Starc.
Yeah, definitely
I think
not.
He could be as good as Mitchell Starc. I don't think he'll be better, so... Yeah. I don't think they're any better than last year, but just luck, really.
Jack, what are your picks for this year's IPL?
Well, I mean, I being a Sunrisers fan, I'd like to say that we have a good chance, but we didn't really... I think last year was just a one-off for us. Obviously, you know, I've got to stick with the lads as well. RCB, obviously, they've been in the final the last 3 years, and they haven't really managed to get over the line. Whether or not this year is going to be their year is another thing to be said. But you know, you guys have mentioned it. You look at that batting lineup. You've got Chris Gayle, AB de Villiers. You've got Virat Kohli. You've also got Shane Watson in there as well. And then you've got Tim Al-Mills. And you know, the list just goes on and on. Yes, their bowling isn't perhaps as good as it should be, but I think that, you know, if they can set scores, I know we've said this before, but if they can set almost impossible scores to catch, then I think that they are going to be one team to keep up with. But again, you know, Sunil Narine, when he first came into the IPL, it was a bit unknown. No one really knew what he was going to be bowling. And in his first one or two seasons in the IPL, he was sort of seen as an unknown bowler. But now he's come in and everyone's sort of gotten used to him. He's had that issue with his action as well, and he's addressed that, and he's not been as effective. We saw it last season, he wasn't taking as many wickets as he was in the previous years. So I don't know about KKR. They've always been a good, consistent team. Again, you know, you talk about Delhi Daredevils, you talk about Kings 11 as well. Kings 11, I think, are probably one of the dark horses in the tournament, in my mind.
Touching on that as well, Kings 11 have finished last 2 years as at the bottom position, but what do you guys think Kings 11 Punjab is going to come up this year, or just going to cement that spot at the last?
I mean, if you look at their bowling lineup, they don't really have anything to sort of keep scores in check. I mean, Mohit Sharma, he's done all right, but I don't think they have any real gun bowlers to really sort of help them out. The only way I see them getting progressing of is Glenn Maxwell has a really good tournament and can do what he did a couple of years ago, score a couple of hundreds or 90s, I think he did, in a row. So
yeah, I think Kings 11 Punjab is one of those teams who are not going on high spending, having someone like Murali Vijay, who's quite inexperienced as a captain as well, and in bowling as well, like, so I pretty as much predict they're not going to do so well this year. But yeah, coming to the fact again that you're touching that Sunrisers last year, I think honestly they won because of their bowling attack of Mustafizur Rahman and Bhuvneshwar Kumar. So do you guys think that bowling is the most important fact in cricket as far as T20 is concerned? Because as we can see, just batting, the ICC is quite harsh on bowlers as well, and then batting, just anyone can bat, but then does the bowler make the difference? Because last year, clearly, having a team of Virat Kohli and Chris Gayle and AB de Villiers, RCB didn't seem to make through because of Mustafizur Rahman and Bhuvneshwar Kumar.
I don't know, you know, we could have this debate for ages, I imagine, you know, what wins the games for in especially in the short format of the game. Is it the bowlers, is it the batsmen? I think, obviously, you know, it's a bit of both. You can't just rely on your batsmen to get you a big score and then not have the bowlers to you know, effectively stop your opponent from catching up with you. And you can't just have bowlers to, you know, limit your opponent to maybe 80 runs in a T20 game and then not have the batting power to get yourself over the line. So I think it's a bit of both, obviously. But yeah, you know, I mean, we can use a classic example of RCB. They've had the batting power for the last couple of years and they've never really quite made it. Do I think bowlers are better and more important, even?
As far as T20 is concerned.
As far as T20, obviously, you know, again, it's a hard one. I would rather have in my opinion, if I was like the owner of one of these teams, I'd rather have a solid bowling lineup, before I started thinking about putting runs on a board. You know, if I can limit my opponent to, or if I can control my opponent to only putting a score that I know that I can chase, then yeah, I'd take that. And instead of hitting a score that I know my opponent can't chase and then not being able to stop my opponent from chasing it down.
What about you, Tarun?
I think on a sort of flat wicket, they were saying during the England India series that it's quite often the bowlers in a high scoring game, all you need is one bowler to bowl four overs for like 3 for 28, and it can be the match winning spell. So everyone says T20 is a batsman's game, which it primarily is, but if you can sort of fine tune the art of bowling and be effective, you can be a match winner with a ball. So it's a hard one to call, but definitely bowling is at least as important as batting.
Tarun, do you have any
I'd say, I mean, on the day, I think average batsmen can get big scores in T20, especially on a flat pitch, but only a really quality bowler can limit the scoring of the other side. So I'd say bowler's definitely more important, as was just previously said.
Yeah, hope the IPL franchise holders listen to this podcast. moving on to the test games, the four-game test series in India played, India vs Australia. The first game was played recently, and India surprisingly lost by almost a 300 runs, which is not expected from the world number one team. Take it away from me, Jack.
Well, I haven't been keeping up to date with the series, but I've just got the scores up on my board, and I don't know what happened to India. I don't know why they didn't manage to get over the line against Australia. I mean, quite honestly, if you look at those first and second inning scores, 105 and 107, it's quite embarrassing, to be honest, for a team of India's quality. I mean, I know we've got the two Indians in the room, so I don't want to say anything out of line, but, you know, I think Australia, although a lot of people write off Australia, they've always been one of those teams that can surprise you. So they're not, they haven't perhaps been the most consistent team over the last couple of years in terms of test games, but I still do think that they are a force to be reckoned with, in, not only in their batting, but also their bowling. You know, Smith made 109 in this test, and it's, yeah, I think India will be looking to bounce back, obviously, straight away and in the next test coming up. So I wouldn't write India off in this test series just yet, but Australia will be going into the next game with their heads held high, just hoping that they can do more of the same.
I think there's really three factors that caused this loss. I think the pitch really helped out Australia. It was a turner from day one, and I think it sort of limited the skills of our Ashwin and Jadeja because it made the Australia bowlers as effective, even though they're not as skilled. So I think that was one factor. And the other factor is complacency. If you look at some of the shots the Indian boys played, I mean, Virat Kohli chasing a wide one first up, K.R. Rahul just a wild swipe.
Yeah, and then
I think after the 16-match unbeaten run, I think India just got a bit complacent and expected Australia to turn over.
Yeah, having said that, Stephen O'Keefe, his 6-wicket haul in the first, like, India were almost 75 for 3 and then they got 105 all out. And here, Steve O'Keefe took 6 wickets on a turning pitch. Do you think Australia was late to get such a player in because he's quite like 32 years old and he could have done wonders, like, compared to...
I mean,
the series they've been
Michael Clarke took a 6 on a turning pitch in Australia, so I wouldn't read too much into it. I mean, I think he's just a bit of a pitch it on a spot and a hope it turns sort of bowler. I don't really think he's any sort of world beater. I think Lyon's a much better bowler in sort of overall conditions because he's got sort of the flight guile that someone like Steve O'Keefe doesn't have.
Yeah, I mean, with O'Keefe, I mean, he was doing what England bowlers just didn't do in the India series. He was just landing the ball basically on a consistent length, on a good length. And we saw the results. I mean, you've had Adil Rashid bowling a pie and over, really. It's not even a joke. He genuinely did.
Yeah.
And they would. I mean, all the Australians did is just build pressure by building dots and getting the ball in good areas, and that's what O'Keefe did. So credit to him, and it's a very good win for Australia. But I still think India will go on to win the series.
Yes. Moving on, I definitely as well think that India is going to win the series. Being a bit like, but yeah. Moving on to the England versus West Indies warm up game. I think England played the Chancellor's 11, and they performed. They scored a 379 run, and then they won the game as well. So, how do you think? Do you guys think that England definitely is winning the series in West Indies, or is you know that West Indies on that day they're just gonna smash out any team for that matter? As you saw in India, like the T20 final and the semi final, they just beat West Indies. They just beat India as well as England. So do you think England is winning this, or
I think it's gonna be a comfortable series win for England, to be honest, because I think a lot of in West Indies top players don't play ODI cricket as well. I mean, I think all their players mainly play T20 and a lot of them don't play ODIs, so I can't really see West Indies making enough with the bat, to be honest with you, to really challenge. I mean, they got Kieran Powell back, who recently completed a stint as a baseball player, but I think I don't really see them troubling England with the bat at all, so I think it's going to be comfortable.
Yeah, I think it's going to be 3-0 England. I think it's going to be a bit of hammering in every game. West Indies don't, as I said, they don't have their best players out. They've even dropped a couple of the, like, Marlon Samuels is not playing, Darren Bravo's not playing, and these were guys, the more dependable players that played all the formats. So I think England will have too much batting power for them, especially if England bat first, they won't be able to get near them.
Yeah, I have to agree with them. Obviously, being an England fan, I'd like to see us go and win 3-0 in the series. But yeah, I mean, it's got to be tough. I think, obviously, no team in international cricket are going to be pushovers. They're not going to let us just come and walk all over them. I think England are going to take it to them. And, you know, we've seen that we know that we can put on a high score. We know that we could have maybe even pushed on for more if we put our foot on the accelerator. We could have maybe even pushed for a bit more. I mean, Owen Morgan obviously finishing with 95 not out was absolutely amazing. I mean, he's going to be playing the IPL. I can't wait to watch him for Kings 11. But yeah, you know, there's so much good young talent now in English cricket, especially in the short format of the game coming through. We see it in the T20 NatWest Blast. It's just insane. And I think, yeah, I mean, we've got a good sort of, you know, top 6 or 7 people who can actually bat now, and you know, our bowlers aren't half bad either. So I think if there's any time to, you know, get back on track, it would be right now.
I think this is a really good opportunity for Joe Root, sort of come the Virat Kohli of England, because I think he's got the talent and the technique. I think it's just mentally he struggles with the pressure of ODI cricket. If he can get that right, I think he can be the Virat Kohli of England, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah. I definitely do think as well. Thank you guys for joining me on the studio today, and we'll be joining you next week on the Cricket Podcast on URN.